And that is coming out of Acts chapter 4, 32 and 33. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Not one of them claimed that anything belonging to them was his own, but all things were common property to them. So you notice how that starts. It starts with the congregation being of one mind and soul. And so the first way I would start to articulate something about El Salvador is to thank you for being a congregation that allows yourself to sacrifice personally and give to the missions. It's important. It makes a difference. I wish I could articulate it well and express to you all that happened in this past week, but I can't, but God does. So it starts with you. Thank you so much for sacrificing to missions, and listen to the outcomes of what happens when a congregation is of one heart and soul. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. There's no question that there was great power this past week. Because there's no human power that exists that builds a 20 by 20 structure in 3.5 days. There's no human power that exists that allows Frank and Estella and Tori and Nelda as a family to lead a community outreach and have people just respond in this most amazing, amazing way. It was extremely powerful. There's no way that human power alone allows our amazing college students to deliver Bible studies, you know, day in, day in, day in, and have the people respond to that. But it happened, and that great power was upon us. We did indeed testify to the resurrection, to the living Jesus Christ. And there is most certainly abundant grace upon us all this past week, because that's the only way that I can explain. At the end of the day on Friday, when we're already tired, and one of the guys that's kind of running it says, "Hey, you see that 500-pound freezer right there? Would you take that 500-pound freezer and move it to the other building down this pathway that was never intended for a 500-pound freezer to be moved?" So it happens, and abundant grace was upon them all. So it would take hours to articulate it, but I just want to thank you for being a congregation of one heart and soul towards missions. There was no question. Great power and testimony to the living Jesus with abundant grace upon us all. So thank you.
Hello. Hi. I'm Clay DeJong. I'm a junior at Texas A&M University, and I was on the mission trip this past week. And it was a fast and furious week. We did a lot of things, such as building a house, digging trenches, raking leaves, a bunch of stuff. And I think a lot of us began to get a little frustrated with, I'm speaking for myself right now, with the language barrier. A lot of us had a really hard time communicating with the people there because we obviously didn't speak the same language, and it was hard to, explain the complicated, ins and outs of the gospel when you can't even speak the same language as the people. And so that was a difficult thing, but it was really cool to see how the love of Jesus just really broke down that barrier quickly, and as well as translators, which was a great thing. It was like one example I'm thinking of is we were all building a house, and this random local guy just walked in the area we were building the house at, and he talked to Leon, and he was like, "Man, I notice a love and passion in y'all that I don't have and my family doesn't have," and kind of asked Leon what it was, and Leon got to explain the gospel to him, which was so cool. I know towards the end of the week, I started kind of reflecting and thinking about, why we were in El Salvador, and with the language barrier, it began to get really frustrating, because it's like, why are we going through all this where, we could do all these things like building a home and digging trenches and all that stuff in Bryan College Station, where we could talk to people easily and it'd be much more convenient. So why am I, you know, traveling on a 4-hour plane ride, 3-hour plane ride to talk to these people and build a home over here? And, you know, if we stopped at just building homes and digging trenches and moving heavy objects for people, then yeah, it would be a pretty pointless trip. But the thing is, we didn't stop there, and that wasn't the point of the trip. The point of us going to El Salvador was to make Jesus Christ known where he isn't. And I know for a fact that happened. And we had the gospel on the tip of our tongues at all moments. And it was so evident during Bible studies too. You could tell that, you know, teenage boys that were with us did not have many male role models to look up to. And so to be able to preach Jesus to them every day was awesome. And, you know, I didn't personally have any just one-on-one conversation with a kid where he just, like, you know, broke down and accepted Christ at that moment. But that doesn't mean that it was a mission failure. We did this out of obedience for Jesus and not out of seeking fruit to see people come to Christ. Obviously, we want that, but it was so cool to see just God's word move. And, you know, any time the gospel is preached and God's word is preached, it doesn't come back void. And so really resting in that promise. And, you know, despite what we see, just day in and day out, preaching the gospel. And that's what we did. And it was so encouraging to see my brothers and sisters just really step out in obedience. And through leading Bible studies or vacation Bible school or just in work projects, and they really took control. And that was really cool to see. And I can't thank y'all enough for sending us. And it is because of y'all's obedience through prayers and other means of support. It's because of that obedience that the gospel has been preached in El Salvador. And so I want y'all to know that. And I can't thank y'all enough for sending us. So thanks.
Good morning. It's good to be back home, but I left a piece of my heart in El Salvador. The word in Matthew 6 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" The whole time, starting out, I was worried, and I had to let go of this worry. Throughout the whole trip, I checked off in my head, okay, we've made it through the flight. I hate flying. And I don't know when this happened, but I hate flying. we get there, and I'm like, okay, now we have an hour to drive to our destination. I've heard they drive crazy. Now I can tell you they drive crazy. I mean, I just kept checking them off, and I'm like, Lord, you're with me. Why do I value my life here on earth so much? When if you take my life, I get to be with you. Why is that so scary? Take that fear. I get there and I see the women and the children just full of happiness. They had a smile on their faces, and they live in shacks. They live with dirt floors. And they had smiles on their faces, and they showed me love. I went over there to show them the love of God. They showed me the love of God. And love has no language barrier. I got to see my dad. Whoa. He preached. He got up there and he was a different man. I remember this man from when I was little, but I got to see him again. And those people, when my dad started reciting John 3:16, they recited it back to him. And I was like, Lord, you've planted the seed. We're here to water it. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your prayers, because we felt them and we needed them. I was so impressed by these kids over here. They're not kids. They didn't stop working. They just kept going. Even when we were just completely exhausted, they kept going. They stayed up till, midnight? One? I don't even know. And they would get up the next morning and they were ready to go again. And I got to watch the girls playing. It was something like Ring Around the Roses in Spanish, but I thought it was cute because that's all the kids needed. They just needed them to hold their hand and say, you know, just through the touch and the hugs, saying, I love you. I love you. You're my little sister in Christ. You're my little brother in Christ. And they were just so joyful. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for sending us. And I urge you that when God puts it on your heart to go, listen. He's got big things in store. Thank you.
And I kind of asked Dean to share this, but Dean, I know that this is impossible to share someone else's burden or whatever. So I got to do it my own self. Just like if Dean had tried to get me to share his burden, it wouldn't have been the same, right? We got to speak from the overflow of our heart in these matters. But our purpose as a church and our mission or vision, I don't even know for sure what we call it. We don't pay a lot of attention to sort of the modern leadership lingo and all of that. But we know what we're about as a church. And we try to tell you periodically that we're making disciples of every generation. And everything that we do as a church is derived from that primary purpose. And so I want you to understand that what we do in this area of missions flows right out of our purpose as a church to make disciples of every generation. And when we go on these trips, we go there to do evangelism so that we can introduce people to Jesus Christ so that they can be discipled. But that is only part of what is going on. The other part of it is that we are doing what God's called us to do as a church, discipling our people in the very act and in the very process of going and working and serving together. And I want to warn you, if you go on a mission trip, prepare to experience discipleship on steroids. The depth of conversation, the amount of truth that was spoken from person to person, the issues of our heart that were brought out and dealt with, and the amount of spiritual growth that God produced in us as we went on this trip was completely off the chart. And so I as your pastor, I want us to, because I only want to preach whatever I've got in front of me, and y'all know I'm bad about that. I only preach what is right in front of me, and I don't give us the big picture often enough. But the big picture is we're making disciples of every generation. And every night after dinner, those guys were discipling each other. And some of the older men were discipling each other. Amazing conversations about the most important areas of our life. And God was speaking into us. And then the young guys would come over and sit at our table. And I know you might think this is weird, but they would literally say, would you all please pour into us? We want wisdom. We want knowledge. We want to know Jesus better. Please pour into us. Is that not weird? That is so weird, and it's so glorious, and that's what we're about as a church. And I really wish, you know, we're busy, and we don't do that enough. And along with the seeds that were planted in El Salvador, we were right down the center line of our mission as a church in obedience to Jesus Christ. That trip was all about making disciples from start to finish. I was discipled on that trip. Everyone who went on that trip was discipled. We know Jesus better, and we can walk with Him more faithfully because of it. And we were in the very process of obeying Him while we were there and speaking God's truth to those all nations. And so anyway, thank you so much for your support of our missions work. And I just wanted you to see how integral it is to our whole mission as a church.